Hey, listen to Daniel Eliezer from Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, from 6 lines from the bottom, Lema Ketanoi. So there was a machlokas that we saw at the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, and then it was our discussion on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, which is a machlokas between Abaye and Rava about when a loan of a Baal Chov takes place if there is collateral. When there is collateral taken, security for a loan. The question is, when does that collateral belong to the malve, the lender? Meaning, assuming the lova did not pay back at the right time, so now, then the malve collects the collateral. So did he acquire the collateral upon that upon the lova officially missing the due date, or does he retroactively, upon that happening, retroactively, as soon as he originally acquired the object, it was his then? This is the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye says that you acquire it limafreya. So if the loan took place in January, and that's when the collateral was taken, and then in December the loan is due. He didn't pay back, so Abaye says it's l'mafreya. You acquired that the malve acquired it retroactively, and it was the owner of that object as early as January. And Rava says no, the due date was December. He missed the due date here; that was the deadline, and now he acquires it. So the Gemara wants to suggest over here, 6 lines from the bottom, and Laman Aleph Amud Aleph, Lema Ketanoi. Let's say that Abaye and Rava's machlokas is actually machlokas found in the Braisa by the Tanaim. Here's the brisa. Yisrael shehilva l'nachri al chamtso la'achar ha'pesach eino over Yisrael lends a nachri on his chametz, meaning that the nachri's chametz is the collateral, it's the security for the loan, and the malva lends it out. So now the malva has this chametz on Pesach that belongs to the guy. So, eino over. It says that he is not over. He did not violate anything of Bal Yir Bal Yimatzah, meaning at the end of the day, the guy did not pay back. So the Jewish lender gets to keep the chametz. It's after Pesach now. The question is, did he have the chametz on Pesach? Was it his property over all of Pesach? And then there's the violation of Bal Yir Bal Yimatzah, or maybe not. Maybe it belongs to the guy then. So over here it says this ain't over. He was not over the issue of Bal Yir Bal Yimatzah. So it sounds like he didn't own it over Pesach. Mishum Rebbe Meir Amru over, but they said in the name of Rebbe Meir. So Tanakham says not over, but in the name of Rebbe Meir, they says over. So the Gemara says, "My lab b'hakimifagi demar sever l'mafreya hugove umar sever mikan l'haba hugove." So isn't the machlokas exactly this machlokas that they argue about whether or not the chametz was owned over Pesach? Because they argue when the loan takes effect. When the acquisition of the collateral took effect. Does it take effect at the beginning before the loan was given, meaning that over Pesach it also belonged to the Jewish malve? Or no, maybe it only takes effect now, and in that case it took effect only after Pesach, after the loan was not paid up, and therefore he did not own the chametz over Pesach, and he was not over Bal Yir Bal Yimatzah. So isn't that what Rebbe Meir and the Tanakhama here are arguing about, Abaye and Rava Machlokas? So the Gemara says, is that logical? Not on its own, maybe, but Ema Seifa, but let's share the Seifa of that Braisa. Aval Nachri Shehilva Yisrael, but however, on the other hand, a guy who lends to Yisrael, Al Chemso, on the Yisrael's Chameith, meaning La'achar Pesach. So basically, the before Pesach, the guy lends the Yisrael, and he takes the Yisrael's Challah, or whatever it is, and I don't know how long it'll last, but whatever, he takes the Jews' chametz. So, and after Pesach, Divrei HaKol over. Everybody says he was over. Everyone says that he's over the Isser of Bal Yir Bal Yimatzah. Now, this is surprising, right? Because if you are going to tell me it's Taloy on the Machlokes, if this Machlokes of the Tanakh and Rebbe Meir is Taloy on the Machlokes of Abaye and Rav, it's the same Machlokes, then It should have said the opposite, right? The seifa of this brisa should have said the opposite halacha. L'man de'amar hasam eino over, according to hacha over, Laman damar hasam over, hacha eno over. To the one who said that you do transgress balir bal yamatzis, so over here he says you should not transgress it, because over here it was not owned by a Jew, it was owned by the guy, it belonged to the guy the whole time. And damar hasam over, hacha eno over, it should be the reverse. So it doesn't seem like that's the machlokas, because the if you look at the ratio alone, yes, it looks like that's the machlokas. But based on the seifa, which doesn't just flip the halacha, it says everybody says you're over. So clearly there's something else at play here. So we turn over to the next Amud, Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. Hela Hachav Mayas Kinan. So rather, what are we dealing with over here? Kigon Sheharhenu Etzlo. It's where it was, like put by him. Meaning that the collateral was given to the Malva in advance. He had it beforehand. And the machlokes of the Tanakhana Rebbe Meir is specifically in regarding the din of Rebbe Yitzchak. Damar Rebbe Yitzchak, minayin lebal chov shekona mashkon. Where do we see that a bal chov acquires a mashkon? How do we know that the mashkon, the collateral, the security, belongs to the lender, that it's always considered his property? Shenamar, as it says, believe it or not, last week's parsha, ulecha tiyat tzedakah, it should be for you a tzedakah. Basically, what the pasuk says is that if you take collateral from a poor person and he needs that collateral, it's his pajamas or it's something he needs for his career, so you should give it back in the appropriate time. So if it's his pajamas and you need to give it back to him at night, so you give it back to him at night. And the pasuk says ulecha tiyat tzedakah, it's going to be tzedakah for you. So the mashmalos of that, right? If it's going to be tzedakah, what do you mean it's tzedakah? Ah, well, officially the collateral belongs to you, and then you let him have it back for the night, so that's actually you giving tzedakah. So it must be. So we learn from here. Rebbe Yitzchak learns from here that the collateral, the security belongs to the lender, and he does tzedakah by letting the borrower borrow that collateral. So in eina kona mashkon tzedakah minayin. So if there's no acquisition of the collateral, then where's the tzedakah? I don't see it. Mikan lebal chov shekona mashkon. So from here, says Rabbi Yitzchak, we learn from last week's parsha's kisei, saying that the bal chov acquires the mashkon. So now, what's the machlokas here with Rabbi Shimon, with Rabbi Meir and the Tanakama? So Tanakama savar hani mili Yisrael me Yisrael who dekrina be ulchati tzedakah. So Tanakama says, when do we say that it's considered tzedakah, and that the collateral, the mashkon, belongs to the lender? When do we say that? When it's Yisrael from Yisrael, because that's what the pasuk is talking about. Aval Yisrael minachri lo kani. However, when Yisrael gets it from a nachri, right, he has the collateral from a nachri, so that is not considered tzedakah. It's not considered as if he owns it. Right? So meaning, like, In the ratio of the brisa, where the Jew was the malven, he took the chametz of the guy as his mashkon. So the chametz now the chametz is mutter, right? Because the malve who's the Yisrael didn't own it during that time, because according to Tanakhama, the pasuk is talking about only a Jew from a Jew, not a Jew from a non-Jew. So the Jew never acquired the mashkon of the non-Jew. It wasn't a Jewish property, and therefore chametz wasn't owned by a Jew over Pesach. However, de Karina Beit Tzedakah Avol Yisrael Minachri Lo Kani Remeir Savar Kavachomer Yisrael. Kani Yisrael minachri l'kol shekein, and Remeir says no, just the opposite. If a Yisrael acquires even a Yisrael's property, so a Jew of course acquires a non-Jew's property, acquires the mashkon. Aval nachri shehilva es Yisrael. Right. So, and this is why Rabbi Meir would hold that the chametz was owned by the Jew on Pesach, and therefore in the Reisha he says you're over. Now the Gemara continues. We have to explain the Divrei HaKol, right? Everybody says you're over in the Seifa. So let's see. Aval Nachri Shehilvas Yisrael Al Chemtzo Achar Pesach Divrei HaKol over, right? But if the Jew lent the non-Jew lent the Jew over Pesach, so everyone says it's over. So Hasam Vaday Nachri Me Yisrael Lo Kani. But there for sure the Nachri does not acquire from the mashkon from the Jew. That's definitely not the case. So the Jew owned it over Pesach. Tanan, So now it's the next point. So that would seem to be the machlokas, but we have to try to now solve for this Mishnah. It's none. We learned to the Mishnah, Nachri Shehilvi Yisrael Al Chemso, a Nachri that a Jew, a non-Jew that lent a Jew, and took the chametz of the Jew as collateral. Achara Pesach Mutter Bahana. It's Mutter Bahana. The Gemara says, in this case, Nehi, sorry, I just lost the place. Nahi nami derheno etzlo. So yeah, granted, he left it by him, meaning the Yisrael is borrowing from the Nachri, and he left the chametz by the Nachri. But nevertheless, ha'amart Nachri Yisrael lokani. But you just stated, right, the way we explained the brisa, the machlokas, the Tanakam and Reb Meir, is at least the seifa, is that a guy does not acquire the mashkon of the Yisrael. So if the guy never acquired the mashkon, even though it's by him, So why would it be usser? Sorry, no, why would it be mutter? It belonged to the Jew the whole time. Yet the Mishnah says it's mutter bahana. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. Hada amar le ma'achshav, hada lo amar le me'achshav. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a question. In one case, it's where he said me'achshav, meaning that when the loan took place, he said, and if I don't pay back, then it's as if I have it now. And this case, I mean, that's in the Mishnah, and in the Braisa, that's where he did not say me'achshav, meaning over here we have an explicit stipulation that it should be retroactive. I mean, this is really a question within Rava. This is not really a question within Abaye, because Abaye believes in retroactive ownership. But within Rava, who doesn't believe that it goes retroactively, but if they stipulate at the beginning, when they're giving the loan, me'achshav, it should take place from now, if in the future you don't pay back. So that's an explicit stipulation that it should be retroactive, and that would actually work. So in this Mishnah, where we seem to have it going to retroactive ownership, so the Gemara is suggesting, that's where it was explicitly stated that, and stipulated that it would be me'achshav. But otherwise, we wouldn't say that. Now, the Gemara asks, how do we see that concept is a real thing? I mean, not Timra Deshani Le Ben Hecha De Amar Me'achshav Ben Hecha De Lo Amar Me'achshav. How do you know that works? That there's a difference between saying from now and not specifying from now that impacts the ownership retroactively. Detanya, because we learned in a brisa, Nachri Shaharhen Pas Purani Eitzel Yisrael Eino Over, that a Nachri that leaves bread as collateral, a pas porni, the Rashi says is like some like chashiv, like large type of bread or something like that. So it says, ain't over, he's not over. Vim amar lo, but then if he said to him, he got ticha, right? So the Nachri left the bread by him, and the Nachri is planning on paying back and taking back his bread. But if he says, he got ticha, you got it, it's yours, meaning now you can keep the bread, over. So now the Jew is over, balyer balyamatze. So, maishna reishna maishna seifa. What's the difference between in the reisha and the seifa? So the fact that he said he got ticha, it's yours, right? You've reached it, you've achieved it. Why does that make a difference? So the Gemara suggests elo shmami na, right? Elo lav shmami na shani hecha damar le me'achshav la hecha de lo amar le me'achshav shmami na. Isn't it that? Don't we learn from here that there's a difference between saying we're stipulating as if it's from now and from not, meaning the Gemara is interpreting, higaticha, it's yours, you have reached it, you have achieved it, it is yours, as saying that, what was the guy saying? The guy is saying, me'achshav, that meaning that the collateral is yours, meaning if I don't pay back, it is yours, you get to keep it, meaning I'm saying it right now, it is yours, meaning it's as if it is yours, meaning it's essentially saying me'achshav. So the term higaticha, the Gemara is suggesting in this brisa, is really another way of saying me'achshav, which is another way of saying explicitly stipulating that it should be retroactive. And in that case, if it's retroactively the Jews the whole time, then he's over in such a case. And we have then shown that there is such a thing as retroactive ownership if it's specifically stipulated, which is what the Gemara was arguing. And Shmamina, the Gemara accepts this response. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa. This is not, it's really the end of the previous discussion. Chanus shel Yisrael, lamale shel Yisrael. If you have a, chanus, which is a marketplace of a Jew, and it is male, it's like filled with things, merchandise, shel Yisrael, of a Jew, upole nachrim, and you have non-Jewish employees there. Nichnas nasham. They're going back and forth. They're going there. Chametz shenimsasham. So if you find chametz there, achar pesach aser bahana. It's aser bahana. We assume it belongs to the Jew. Ve'ein tzarich lomar ba'achila. And for sure, you can't eat it. Chanus shal nachri umalei shal nachri upole Yisrael nichnas miyotzin lasham. But if you have a non-Jewish store with non-Jewish merchandise and there are Jews going in and out of there, chametz shenimsasham achar pesach mutar ba'achila ve'ein tzarich lomar ba'hana. So that we assume belongs to the goyim. It's a goyish place with Gaiish ownership, so we assume it's Gaiish chametz, and therefore it's mutar b'achila, and of course hana. And that is the end of that, and now we'll do the next Mishnah. Masnisen, chametz shenafla alav mapoles hari hukimavu are chametz that a mapoles, like a wall or ruin collapsed on it, now the chametz is completely buried. That's as if its bir chametz was done. It's considered destroyed or removed. Remshim magamlil omer kol she'ena kelev yachol l'chapes acharav. Only if it's like buried to the point that a dog would not be able to search after it, and we'll have to qualify that in a moment. Amar Rav Chista v'tzarek shebat b'liba. Rav Chista says, and you need to do bittel. Rashi says that the reason for that tzarek shebat b'liba shema yipakeh hagal, maybe it'll be opened on Pesach and then you're over b'al yer b'al yamatzeh with it. So you have to even after it's no longer out of sight and out of mind, but you also have to do a bittel b'leiv just in case. The Gemara then says Tana, it was taught kama chafisa sakelev shlosha tvachim. It was taught how much is considered chafisa sakelev that a dog doesn't seek it out anymore. Shlosha tvachim, it's three tvachim deep. Amar le Rav Acha bereder Rav Yosef the Ravashi ha damar Shmuel ksafim ein lehem shmira ela bakarka. So the Rav Acha is son of Rav Yosef asked Rav Ashi. There was a statement of Shmuel that money is not, it doesn't have shmir. It's not properly hidden unless it's in the ground. So when Shmuel said that, mi be'inan shlosha tvachim alo, does he require three tvachim or not? Based on what we're saying about chametz and not being accessible by a dog, so we said that's three tvachim deep. So is that the same thing for Shmuel's principle that money is only considered properly hidden if it's in the ground, only if it has to be three tvachim deep? The Amar Lei, he said back to him, hacham yishum reicha be'inan shlosha tvachim. No, when it comes to money, it's different. By chametz, you still smell it. A dog can still sniff it out if it's three tvachim deep. So that's why it has to be at least three tvachim deep, or just under three tvachim deep. That's why you have to make it three tvachim deep, so it's not accessible by dogs. Hasam mishum iksuye me'enahu. But over there, it's just by covering it up from the eye. You just want it out of sight. So velo by shlosha, you don't need three tvachim deep. That's only by chametz. It's not by other things that you just want to hide, not from a dog. If you have to hide from a dog and it's food, so three tvachim deep is the number. The kama, and how much is covered according to Shmuel? How much would he say is actually properly covered and hidden from the eye? Amar Afron Bar Papa misichra tefach. Afron Bar Papa from Sichra says it's a tefach deep, and we will hold it here and a new Mishnah tomorrow night.